I'd just like to agree with Mike there that these meetings this past week have been a real blessing.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I have received a blessing each meeting. I've been comforted, I've been exhorted, I've been edified, and I'm going to be going back with a few different points of view about several different things.
Amen.
And the Lord's really been good. I got to thinking, I was thinking on some different things, and I was thinking, how could we, or any one of you, help the missionaries? You know, I know some of you, you don't have a whole lot of money, so you really can't give a whole lot. Other use, it's not possible for you to go down there and do the same work. But there's one thing I was thinking about, and it's always a blessing to me when I do think about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Ye also helping together by prayer." We can help. Anybody.
Amen.
The children can help. They can pray. The ones that can't go, you can help by praying. You that don't have money, you can help by praying. You can help. It's not like you can't help. You can be a part of it. You don't have to be there. You can be a part by praying. I can't stress the importance. Ed was talking about, that one Sunday there, or that one day, he was so depressed. Brother, were you praying? Did you have a part in when he got lifted up again? Were you praying? You can help. You don't have to sit back and watch all the time. You can really be a part of it. You can take part, and you can receive in the blessings that are given for it, because you had a part with your prayers.
Amen.
I gotta admit, I can't stress the importance. I could get on my knees and beg you, pray for us. We need it. But that still, I don't know. Would it open your eyes? If I crawled to you begging you to pray for us, we need your prayers. It's important.
Amen.
We can't do it alone. We need your prayers. And there was one time that really became a reality to me. And that was when I was there in Lagos by myself, working alone. I stayed there I don't know how long anymore. But it was a good while by myself, long enough to realize that I don't want to work by myself. I want to work with somebody. As it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, 4th chapter, if you look there yourself, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, he tells us here, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." I realized in that time that I need another person to work with me. It's not easy being alone. And for anybody that would think of going somewhere alone to do a work, brother, you better make sure you got it right.
Amen.
Make sure it's of the Lord and it's not just yourself. Make sure, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. And I remember that time, I spent a lot of time in prayer. And sometimes I got to thinking, the brothers there in Leon, they're working. I know they're going out. I'd get up in the morning to go out preaching or go out witnessing, really. And I'd be just too depressed. I'd sit on the side of that mountain there and just look over the city and pray. I'd spend the whole morning praying. And I'd pray for Lagos. I'd pray for Leon. Pray for y'all here. I spent a lot of time in prayer those 2 months. And it was a blessing to see the Lord opening the doors in Leon. And I got to thinking, I had a part in that.
Amen.
I spent some time praying for him. I had a part. Praise the Lord. I actually did something for him. I actually helped him. And I thank God on that privilege. And I want to exhort him. Honey. I want to encourage you to pray for us. Pray for Dale there in San Luis. And pray for the church there. That they would grow. They'd be strengthened. That the elders would take over. And they wouldn't be so wishy-washy. How do you say it, where they go one side or the other? Fickle, that's good enough. But that they'd be more stable, more steadfast.
Amen.
And that they would be able to pack up and get out of that town. And they would keep going. Pray for the brethren in Leon, that the Lord would raise up the elders there also.
Amen.
And that he'd raise up missionaries. That's the vision. That's what the brothers are wanting to see there. A church that'll send out other missionaries.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Keep on. Pray for them. Pray that these things would come to pass.
Amen.
And it'd be soon. Because we don't have all that much time. We don't know how long we have. Pray for us there in Lagos. That the Lord would open the doors.
Amen.
That this brother Reuben, he wouldn't faint. He wouldn't be discouraged because he's the only one there in town that has a real testimony and meets with us. Pray for the brothers in Aguascalientes. They're starting over there again. Pray for them. Pray that they wouldn't have to go through another 2 years of dry season. But that'll just keep being a rainy season where the Lord keeps raining down the blessings. Pray for it. It's necessary. It's needful. We need it. We beg you to pray for us. Lagos has been a real experience for me. Laura's done a lot of growing up in me.
Amen.
There's been twice now that I've wanted to pack my bags and get out of there. Once, well, that was when I was alone. And the Lord kept me there. That I'd just gone to go see Bill that day, and I was getting ready to tell him, start looking for me a house here in Leon. I'm going to go ahead and be moving out of Lagos. And I'd been telling him, no, I can't get out of Lagos yet. The Lord just hasn't given me any peace. I can't move out. And none of them really expected me to move out, but I couldn't take it anymore by myself. And sure enough, before I told him anything, he says, man, I got some good news for you. Guess what?
What?
It's coming down to work with you. Nice joke, you know. Well, just to make sure he wasn't joking, I told him, man, we came up here to look for a house, tell y'all to start looking. And he didn't back off of his jokes. I said, it must not be a joke. And I praise God. I said, forget it. Don't look for me a house. I'm not going to cut change. I'll be staying there in Lagos. So we stayed. We stayed another year and a half as of right now. And not too long ago, we got to thinking again. Ed and I this time, I went by myself. He said, maybe it's time to move out of Lagos. Maybe it's time for someone else to have a chance to hear. So we got to praying. We got to looking. And I found a town I liked. He found one he liked. And neither one of us liked either of the towns together. So we finally decided, let's go look at a town. This is the last town on the list that we're discussing, we're considering. Let's go look at it together. Make a decision. Because we've got to be in agreement. We can't be doing this thing one against the other. But we've got to be in agreement. I can't remember the verse right now, but the Lord talks about being in agreement. So we went to go look at this town. And we came to the conclusion we have more peace staying where we are than to move there. Or any other town at the time. So we've decided to stay in Lagos for bare minimum another year. And we ask you to continue to pray for us. That the Lord would open the doors. That he would do a work there. It's not us. We can't do it. We've done proved that. Got 2.5 years to prove that on my part. Ed only got 1.5 years, so he's not so bad. But it's been proven we can't do it on our own. We need the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for us.
Amen.
We need your prayers. But I'd like to share some things here out of Titus chapter 3, and for you, Ed, that's page 291 in your New Testament. Titus chapter 3. There in Lagos, I've been, I looked it up. I wasn't going to be wrong. That's a joke. The brother Reuben there in Lagos, well, he got some real problem with the Bible and that he can't find the books. So he's always asking, what page? So we're always telling him what page. And Ed gave me a hard time the other day when that brother wasn't there. He said, what page, brother? I was ready to throw my Bible at him. But here in Titus chapter 3, I've been teaching the book of Titus, and chapter 3, I didn't finish it, so I was going to share with you a few things I saw here in the first few verses here. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I got to think in here. So it's so easy there in Mexico. We see these people. They're so stooped in their idolatry and they don't even know it. And we think, how can you be so stupid? The Bible says clearly, you know, that you're not supposed to have no images, and especially the kind that y'all have. But I at one time was foolish also. I at one time was just as they were, just as they are, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving my own lust and pleasures, living in malice, hateful. And I got to think, and there's people like Dale and Mike Jackson who got saved really young. But even them, they at one time were foolish. They were foolish. Mike Jackson told me one time he got saved at 4 years old. Before he was 4 years old, he was foolish. Whether you want to believe it or not, and he was disobedient. And he was deceived. But the Lord had mercy on him. Praise God, he did.
Amen.
And me, I was foolish for a lot longer. A lot longer. But the Lord also had mercy on me.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that it was by his kindness, not by anything of my own, not by any of my own merits, not my own righteousness, my own kindness, my own love towards anybody. For that matter, I never even knew what love meant until after the Lord saved me. I ran around thinking love is something I know nothing about because I don't even think my own parents love me. I had a miserable childhood, but the Lord, he loved me. He saved me. It says here, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
Amen.
According to his mercy, he made his love, his kindness showed towards us. Not by anything that we've done or could do or will do, but by what he himself is, love. He showed his love towards us, as it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. He did it for you. He died. He loved you so much that all you got to do is really believe. Not just say it. As a child, all I did was say it. But I came to the point when I was 14 years old where I realized, in truth, I don't love God. I don't believe in him. I don't have this eternal life that he talks about, that whosoever believeth shall not perish but have eternal life. I didn't have that. Because in truth, all I did was believe the history part. I didn't really trust. I didn't have my faith in him. My faith was in myself. And we're down there in Mexico preaching. We preach that the faith in Christ is what saves. Not faith in yourself. Not faith in your own good works. Not faith in your religion or our religion. But Christ.
Amen.
There's life in Christ. There's salvation in him.
Amen.
And it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. All my life, as a child, I was taught that the good go to heaven and the bad go to hell. Well, I myself realized that I wasn't good, so I kicked that all out the window and said, I'm going to go my own way. But there's still people thinking that by their own goodness, they're going to receive eternal life. They're going to be saved from hell. It's very clear. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's by the righteousness of Christ, not by our righteousness, not by the things we've done, but by what he's done for us. It says here that he saved us by his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been born again, if you haven't been washed, if you haven't been clean, you cannot enter. You cannot be saved. You will not have that eternal life. But he'll save you. It's by the Holy Ghost. It says here, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Abundantly. He wasn't sparingly. He shed on us abundantly.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It says here, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've been made heirs. We've been made heirs by what he did, his grace, not by our good works, but by his grace, that Holy Spirit that he shed upon us abundantly. He did it that by us being justified by his grace, we'd be made heirs. And we've been made heirs. We've been made heirs of Christ, and we have inherited or will inherit eternal life. We have a message. We have a reality. We have eternal life that we need to share with others that they too might have. Without someone telling them, they'll never hear, they'll never know. And that's what our business is. Each and every one of us. You here, where you're at. Us, where we're at. Anywhere we're at. It's our job. It's our responsibility. We can't leave it for the lost to tell each other. It's our job. And if we don't do it, there's really no one that's going to do it. We can't push it off on the one down the street. We can't push it off on some other brother. You can't leave it for the missionaries only. You can't leave it just for... Brian T-Ball or one of these others, Brian Baldwin, that go out in the streets there and door knock. You can't leave it just for them. You got to do it, as the brother was sharing the other day, in your own world.
Amen.
Where you yourself go. Because you go a lot of places that the other brethren don't go. You got to share where you're at. Amen.
Amen.